Devakandanik read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, entitled Lord Vishnu's Appearance in Sacrificial Arena, Text 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Sure.
My Lord, due to your illusory energy, all living beings in this material world have forgotten their real constitutional position, and out of ignorance they are always desirous of material happiness in the form of society, friendship and love. Therefore, please do not ask me to take some material benefits from you, but as a father, not waiting for the son's demand, does everything for the benefit of the son, please bestow upon me whatever you think best for me. Purport. It is the duty of the son to depend upon his father without asking anything from him. The good son has faith that the father knows best how to benefit him. Similarly, a pure devotee does not ask anything from the Lord for material benefit, nor does he ask anything for spiritual benefit. A pure devotee is fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord takes charge of him, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.66. Aham tvam sarva pape bhyo moksha ishyami. The father knows the necessities of the son and supplies them. And the Supreme Lord knows the necessities of the living entities and supplies them sumptuously. Therefore, the Isha-Upanishad states that everything in this material world is complete. Purnam idam. The difficulty is that due to forgetfulness, the living entities create unnecessary demands and entangle themselves in material activities. The result is that there is no end to material activities, life after life. Before us, there are varieties of living entities, and everyone is entangled in transmigrations and activities. Our duty is simply to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and let Him take charge, for He knows what is good for us. Prithu Maharaja therefore tells the Lord that as the Supreme Father, He may elect to bestow whatever He considers beneficial for Prithu Maharaja. That is the perfect position of the living entity. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us in his Sikshashtaka. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagatisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhakti rahaitu ki tvayi. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor I have any desire to enjoy beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. The conclusion is that the pure devotee should not aspire after any material benefit from devotional service, nor should he be enamored by fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. He should always be engaged favorably in the service of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Svarpadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhamurte Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What is inside the heart of a pure devotee? How does he think? How does he act? What is his requirements? What does he ask the Lord when he meets the Lord?
So that is what is being revealed to us in these set of prayers which Prithu Maharaj is offering to the Lord when the Lord is personally present before him. And Srila Prabhupada in his purport draws parallel to how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also revealing what is inside his heart as a devotee, how one, what should he pray for and what he should not pray for. We will look at the key points from the prayers of Prithu Maharaj and then come to this particular verse where he is giving himself to the Lord as a child, is giving himself to the parent, having complete confidence that the parent will protect him. Beginning of his prayers, Prithu Maharaj actually eliminates certain things which we shouldn't be asking from the Lord. First thing that he eliminates is the desire for liberation. Interesting to note is that he addresses the Lord as the person who has this extreme potency to give what kind of benediction you ask. He has that ability to give that benediction. Varadeshwara. One who is the Ishwara here means supreme controller, the master. He is the master of all the benedictions. So that's why it's called Varada Ishwara. So, to such a Lord, and he also addresses in that particular prayer that you are the master of Kaivalya or liberation, but still I'm not going to ask liberation from you. I was thinking about this point. We have great devotees in our movement. One devotee that came to my mind was Ambarish Prabhu. And he is the owner of Ford. If I'm going and asking him and addressing him, "Oh, the owner of Ford," and naturally what I'm going to ask for is also a, "Please give me a Ford." Because you are capable of the whole manufacturing and all that is under your control. Why don't you give me just one such car to me? Because you are the controller of the entire Ford company. But having addressed him like that, if I'm not asking for that, then it's surprising that okay, he has not come for something material. So here Prithu Maharaj is addressing the master of the givers of benediction and one who can give liberation, but still I do not ask for liberation. Then actually what is he asking for then? Instead of liberation, I want millions of years to hear your glories coming from the hearts of your pure devotees through their mouths. It's a very highly exalted prayer where he is asking, "I want millions of years so that I can hear your glories." And these glories are not coming from an automated machine which plays without any emotions. Like nowadays we have a lot of gadgets. We turn it on, it starts to speak to us. "Hey Siri, do this for me."
hey Google. So then Google starts to play particular music. We are not talking about that kind of an automated system which is speaking about either the mundane subjects or even the spiritual topics. Here we are talking about sitting with the devotees and hearing the glories of the Lord. And in that situation, Prithu Maharaj wants millions of years. Why is it? Because there are unlimited talks about the Lord going on in unlimited places. So to hear all of them, what he wants is millions of years. He does not want to miss out wherever there is a talk of the Lord going on. That Prithu Maharaj wants to hear. Just as Prithu Maharaj's heart is revealed in this prayer, Bhagavatam also, and in various scriptures, the Lord also reveals his heart. I am not present in Vaikuntha, but I am present in places where my glories are being sung. Naham tishtami Vaikunte yogino hridayeshiva. Nor am I present in the heart of the yogis. Yatra gayanti madbhakta. Wherever my glories are sung, there I am present. So here we see why Prithu Maharaj is asking for such benediction, is to be with the devotees and in the association of devotees hear the glories of the Lord. Our founder Acharya has created this institution, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If you go through the purposes of ISKCON, one of the prime purpose is to come together and in the association of devotees glorify the Lord, understand your constitutional position as a spirit soul and what is the position of the Lord. So these prayers and then the concepts that are there in the Bhagavatam is taken by Srila Prabhupada, and he has given it in a way that is accessible to us. We may not have the time to go through Bhagavatam, but at least if we have time to go through the purposes of ISKCON, which is like 7 bullet points. Nowadays, we can't read big essays. The ability to understand complex concepts is kind of reducing. We want 2-minute videos or a short presentation. So, 7 purposes of ISKCON kind of fits into our frame of mind where we can read through 7 things and keep it in mind. One such point is coming together, then discussing the activities of the Lord and thereby creating Sadhu Sangha. But then the Lord may ask him, okay, liberation is very, very rare, why are you not asking for it? Why don't you desire liberation, which is very rarely achieved? For that, Prithu Maharaj is kind of telling that by hearing your glories, the living being is restored of its actual position of your servant. That he describes with a very nice words. He compares the glory of the Lord to that of saffron dust at your lotus feet, and that is coming out from the mouth of the pure devotees, and that actually restores a position of a living being. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukachuto bhavat padamboja sudha kananilai smritim punar vismritamit vismrita tatva vatmana ku yoginam no vitarati alam varai. So he says, one who does not take advantage of this, or one who does not follow this process, he is not a perfect yogi, but he's a cheating, he's a coup yogi or a bad yogi. So because liberation is coming automatically, that's why I'm not asking for it. The process guarantees that you will go beyond liberation. A few days ago, we heard from Mukunda Lila Prabhu about how he was explaining that by constantly engaging in devotional service, you go to a platform which is beyond liberation, which is just the absence of miseries. You experience a certain amount of bliss, but that will not satisfy the soul. Service to the Lord is what satisfies the living being, and that is one of the need of the soul, is ananda, which is going back to the basic concepts of soul. We are eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. We want to be in a permanent situation, whereas the body and the material world is always temporary and constantly changing. That creates anxiety. So we are looking for a permanent situation that can be obtained only in the shelter of the Lord. Then we don't want to live eternally in ignorance. We need to be completely aware of who we are, what we are meant to do, what is the position of the Lord. Just like you go to a job, they employ you, but they don't tell you what you need to do. Then you'll be asking, what am I supposed to do? You've employed me. So they give a job description, right? It says, these are your responsibilities and these are the facilities that we will give you. Similarly, in the second chapter of Gita, Krishna explains the characteristics of the soul. Eternal, ever-existing, primeval, does not come into being, always present, can't be withered by wind, burnt by fire, touched by water. All those characteristics are given. Then later on, he describes divine qualities. So as a spirit soul, what are you supposed to do is, you are supposed to cultivate the divine qualities. So here is the facility of a human body, and you are a spirit soul. The body is not permanent, and you need to identify yourself as a spirit soul, and you need to go towards divine qualities, and be mindful there will always be demoniac qualities also, which you need to avoid. And that's the knowledge aspect, where you're not living permanently in ignorance, but Krishna is asking you to come out of ignorance to knowledge, and that is spiritual knowledge. So tamasoma jyotir gama. Then comes the ananda, satchit ananda. So we are living forever, we are full of knowledge. Now with this knowledge, if I ask you to just sit quietly and experience the bliss, which is the absence of miseries experienced by those who are aspiring for liberation, who are asking the Lord to give them liberation. So that will not completely satisfy the living being. How do we know this? Bhagavatam describes as to how those who go to that kind of liberation, they also eventually fall down because there is no positive engagement. The often quoted favorite verse of the of Srila Prabhupada is Padantiyato. So they also eventually fall down. So for us, what do we take from this is, we need to find out engagements where we are able to get out of bodily consciousness. When I mean engagements, engagements in bhakti, not material engagements. We need to find out the engagements in bhakti which will help us, which gives us a glimpse of what it means to have a spiritual body. So when we constantly engage in such spiritual activities under the guidance of a spiritual teacher, then we start to experience ananda, which is beyond what is experienced in the absence of miseries or in the state of liberation. So, how do we come to this position of knowledge? Is in the association of devotees, what is being constantly described Even in this particular chapter where the Lord is personally instructing Prithu Maharaj, he does not start with a very high philosophy. He starts with the very basics of the difference between the body and the soul and the super soul. Why is this knowledge significant? It's because such knowledge will actually lead you to bhakti. So that was covered in the verses 3 to 12. Where the constitutional position of the living being is described and that of the super soul, and then the differences are clearly explained so that you don't aspire to become the super soul, but you start to develop a desire to serve the supreme being or the supreme person. So that happens only in the association of devotees by hearing constantly, and as a byproduct of that, because you are constantly hearing the Lord's glories, as a byproduct you actually get liberated. And a pure devotee doesn't mind whether he wants to be liberated or not, and that's what Prithu Maharaj is initially rejecting, that I don't want liberation. But what do I want is millions of years so that I can sing your, hear your glories which are being sung by the pure devotees. And such glories are compared to a saffron dust. That dust carries the aroma. It's quite fascinating to hear such concepts of aroma carried by the dust, and that dust enters through your ears from the mouth of a pure devotee. Scientifically it doesn't fit, but then in spiritual realm it's always possible. And the Lord himself says that I am present where my glories are being sung by my pure devotees. So because liberation is coming as a byproduct, that's why I'm not asking for it separately. And the glories of the Lord are so potent that even Mother Lakshmi, who is constantly with the Lord, at the feet of the Lord, always serving him, massaging his feet, making sandalwood pulp, applying it on different parts of his body, and who has got access not only to the feet but also to the chest of the Lord, even she wants to hear the glories of the Lord. In the third canto, when the yogi is supposed to meditate on different limbs of the Lord, it's also Mother Lakshmi's glories are also described. She is not only standing next to the Lord with a lotus in her hand, twirling and giving darshan and to the devotees, but she is also constantly engaged in cleaning Vaikuntha. Even though there is no need to clean. Sri Rupini Konayati Charanara Vindam. So that particular verse, Samlakshate Spatika Kutya. So the Spatika is the walls of Vaikuntha are all not made of mundane matter, but it's all spirit. Still, they are engaged in cleaning and serving the feet of the Lord. And that's why when Prithu Maharaj says that, okay, I also want to serve your feet, so I may become a competitor for Mother Lakshmi and she may not like it, then acharyas describe as to how the services don't contradict each other, because the mood of Prithu Maharaj is that of a dasya bhakta, whereas the mood of Mother Lakshmi is madhurya also involved. But still, we can understand the sweetness in the whole situation, where the Lord was about to leave. Even taking a step back, Lord appearing in the sacrificial arena itself is great. I think a few days ago Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was mentioning, even the demigods may not come to the sacrifices personally. They may accept the sacrifices. It's very rare that they will come personally. But then much rather than that is the Lord himself coming. And he is bringing Indra also. So the acceptor, the one who takes all the sacrificial, whatever you offer in the sacrifice, he is personally coming, that itself is great. Secondly, after giving instructions, the Lord is about to leave, but then he stays. What is pulling him back is the wonderful character of Prithu Maharaj. And you can also see how the Lord is so sweet in his dealings with his devotees. He could have just revealed the messages to some other demigod's heart. Sometimes we see that Lord tells whatever he wants to tell, he reveals it to Lord Brahma's heart, and then he doesn't even come. But here he is coming, he is staying, he wants to leave, but he is not leaving. Then normally he doesn't, is acting as a demigod by not touching the, as if he is a demigod by not touching the earth, but then he touches the earth also. Shiva, I don't think it should be this. So he comes down, and as if he is out of balance, he takes hold of Garuda. These are all the sweet dealings we see. Okay, one may ask, what will go on in spiritual world? How can I relate to a person? So this is how we see. This is the sweetness of the Lord who is present in Vaikuntha, and this is how he deals with his devotees. He brings out your what is good inside you, and if we show some demoniac qualities which may come up, he still doesn't abandon you. From the point of view of Indra, who due to his attachment to his position and fearfulness of losing his position as Indra, did certain things which are not acceptable, still the Lord does not abandon him. So Indra did mistakes, we also do mistakes. It was his turn to go through a purificatory process, and now we could be doing so many mistakes, and we could be embarrassed, we could be competing with others, we could be envious of others. Now, in that case, does the Lord abandon us because of our bad qualities? No. So, here the sweet dealings are expressed in a way where we can take sufficient encouragement, where despite my bad qualities, if I am sincere in serving the Lord and His devotees, the Lord will still protect me. So having displayed that sweetness, then we go on to see how Prithu Maharaj is overcome by spiritual emotions, where his vision is being blocked by the tears and he can't see the Lord, but still he is embracing the Lord in the core of his heart, and he's starting to offer the prayers, which is what we just now are looking into. This is giving a preview, as I mentioned earlier, into what is inside the heart of a pure devotee. What does he ask for? What does he not ask for? So after requesting the Lord to take his side in case if Mother Lakshmi becomes angry at him, because Prithu Maharaj is apparently competing with his service, so he is requesting the Lord to take his side. Because you are Dina Vatsala and because I am the most poor, you please take my side. Mother Lakshmi, she is full of wealth, but I don't have any such wealth. So because you are Dina Vatsala, you please take my side, and I am hopeful that you will take my part and you will be affectionate to the poor. Here is something that we can learn how to approach the Lord, and it's the same concept that's being repeated again and again, starting from Canto 1, where the Pandavas are being attacked by the Brahmastra, and we have Arjuna who is got the all-powerful Gandiva and who has got all the potency to counteract it, but still, what is the first step he takes? He turns to Krishna, Bhaktanam Vayankaram. So here is something that we can look at, is he is not taking shelter of his own strength, power. He has got a lot of astras, knowledge that he learned from Dronacharya. He has collected weapons from various demigods. He is not turning to any of those when the Brahmastra is coming. He is turning to the Lord first, and then you are the protector and the maintainer. So first verse of Bhagavatam himself describes as the Lord as the absolute truth, supreme controller, and from him comes all the Mahavishnus, three types of Vishnus, all the universe is coming from him. The potency, the power of the Lord is being brought out, and then Arjuna is turning towards such a Lord. You are Bhaktana Abhayankaram, you are very kind to the devotee, so I take shelter of you. So similarly, we can see here as to how Prithu Maharaj is turning towards the Lord and asking him to bestow his benediction. So when we ask the Lord to save us and protect us, the protection will come in such a way that we have enough strength to do our devotional service when we are in a very, very difficult situation. And the saving aspect of the Lord does not always save the material body. What he is saving is that he is preventing our bhakti from deteriorating further. So the protection and the saving aspect of the Lord is always there. But to what extent do we trust and go towards the Lord when we are in difficult situations? That is the whole point. And that is the aspect of surrender which is being explained in the Sarvadharman Parityajya verse, which Srila Prabhupada quotes in this purport, where Parityajya is described as having complete faith that the Lord will protect in all circumstances. Parityajya does not mean that you give up whatever you're doing, because that's not how surrender is explained. And Krishna's idea is not to induce everybody to take sannyas by that verse where he says sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masuche. That was not the idea to induce everybody to take sannyas. The Lord's purpose of speaking that verse is that in the beginning stages of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna sees that Arjuna is not, although Arjuna is playing the role of a devotee, and in devotional life we can relate, we cannot take up the complete surrender straight away in our devotional life, the first day we join the movement. So that's why different paths are being described. And at that stage, because as a devotee, Arjuna is not capable of taking pure devotional service at that stage, Krishna did not instruct him sarvadharman parityajya in that particular, in the beginning stages. He does it after describing all the paths where you engage your natural propensity, whatever propensity you have, do your duties, then gradually become detached from the results. So first you are attached to your work and the results. Then Krishna explains, give up the attachment to the results at least. Then be detached to the work and the results. How do we do this? Is by acquiring knowledge, so jnana comes in. And we can all relate to these different paths or these propensities that we ourselves have in our own lives. Some are action-oriented persons. We ask them to sit for more than half an hour, they want to do something with their hands. They are more hands-on people. Some, if you leave them in a library and food or no food, they can go on reading books and acquiring knowledge, and they are more into that intellectual part. And some would want to keep their body fit and get into yoga, asana and all that. So the beauty is that Vedic lifestyle accommodates all of them. It does not reject, oh, you don't have this, you can't take my path. Oh, you don't have this quality, you can't be part of us. No. It is all encompassing that, okay, this is how the mercy of the Lord is also, we can understand that for a person who has rejected Him, Krishna is giving multiple options. In this path, you come to me. In this path, again, you can come to me. No worries. If you are interested in this, come. The idea is, ena kena prakarane, some way, shape or form or other, come to me. That's how merciful the Lord is. And He, towards the end, after having described all this, finally He says, now that you are qualified to hear the ultimate benediction or ultimate instruction that I am going to give is, whatever I have said previously, just give it up and just surrender unto me. Now, one may ask, what will happen to my load of karma that I am having? Because earlier you said, do this, and then whatever activities you do, give the results to me. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever austerities you perform. Now you are saying this. Prior to this Sarvadharman Parityajya verse, he says an important thing. Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Always think of me. Remember my glories. Worship me. Offer your homages unto me. So, all the previous paths that are being described should facilitate this particular aspect of always remembering, worshipping and offering homages. And then this final instruction of I will take care of your sinful reactions, do not fear. So we may have the apprehensions, and that's why that is being removed by the Lord Himself, where He says I will take care and do not fear. Where those who don't have that complete faith, fear will always linger on. So fear as such has got two aspects, where something that is unknown to you, you're going to unknown territory, you fear a lot. And something, second aspect is something that you don't want, something which is unwanted. So unknown and unwanted, these are two aspects of the fear. If we want to address fear, the best way to do it is to actually examine it properly. Okay, what am I fearful of and why am I fearful of that? What is it that I am not knowing that is going to cause fear to me? Because usually what happens is, when we are young, when we are faced in situations which is beyond what we can handle, we either get out of that, what we call the fight or flight syndrome, where we get out of a situation, and whatever is beyond our ability to cope, that goes into the subconscious mind. And at that time, our body would have reacted in a particular way. It would have emitted some chemicals, or it would have had some changes in the body. That also gets stored in the body. When we grow up, when we are faced with similar situations, what happens is, the body thinks and the mind, subconscious mind, oh, I faced something earlier, similar thing is coming up, let me protect myself. So if we see people reacting to us in a similar way that we faced earlier, we will anticipate that there's going to be a problem. And if there's a problem, I need to defend myself. And for that, the body will start to prepare itself to defend. So that same chemicals which makes you think that you are in anxiety, you are in stress and you are in fear, those things, that's how your body will start to react. And you will exactly anticipate problems. So when you are anticipating problems, what will manifest is also a problem. So when you are dealing with devotees and you have this mentality of fearfulness or anticipating problems, what is going to come up is also the same thing. So the problem of fear is inside us and the problem is with us. So that has to be addressed by the reassuring words which the Lord is speaking. And He is demonstrating it again and again in the lives of many devotees. He has saved Gajendra, He has saved Draupadi, He has saved Arjuna. Who else the Lord has saved from? Any examples people want to give? Who else got saved by the Lord in a dangerous situation?
Sorry. Parikshit.
Parikshit Maharaj himself has gone to the womb and protected him. So, in those fearful moments, when we are dealing with our core fears, first step is to understand that I am going to face this fearful situation. What is it that I am afraid of? Second is, as Arjuna straight away turned to Krishna when he faced the Brahmastra, when we are looking at our own fearful situation, we take shelter of Guru and Krishna. That's the first step. I personally hear Srila Prabhupada's kirtans and look at his murti eye to eye straight. When you do that, you can see as to how the grip of the modes of nature and the fear is slowly getting released. Then you openly express what are you fearful of, what is preventing me from taking the next step in surrender. If we take, so when we are faced in such fearful situation, when we take these steps of addressing it, taking shelter of a spiritual master and also Krishna, and by looking at how devotees have been protected by the Lord and by Srila Prabhupada time and again, we get that clarity, so that the unknown and the unwanted, so you don't want danger and your body and mind doesn't want to face danger, it's okay, it's normal. You are able to pacify or bring up what is in your subconsciousness and actually see, okay, this is what I'm afraid of, but I'm going to handle it with the help of Guru and Krishna. So that reassurance is there. And then what about the unknown? Just as we make an attempt to speak to Krishna when we are chanting japa, Krishna speaks to us through Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and in those classes. Just as we speak to Krishna during japa, Krishna speaks to us during Bhagavatam class and Bhagavad Gita classes. So that unknown which is not known to you will gradually be, you will get the knowledge by which the unknown becomes known to you, because you are following the process as it is described by Krishna. You are approaching a bona fide master, you are taking shelter of him, you are rendering service. So that unknown becomes slowly known to you. How do I deal with this material nature? What are the three modes? So this is how the modes of material nature, how it works and how this material world works, all this knowledge is slowly revealed to you. Okay, this is my weak point. This is the anartha that's there in my heart. So I'm going to face it
with the help of Guru and Krishna, with the help of scriptures. And okay, what will happen to me? Worst case, I may die. Okay, so even then Krishna says, I will protect you. Even in the worst case, Krishna says, okay, in the next life I will put you in a safe position. Do not fear. So, the biggest antidote to fear is complete faith and surrender. So you bring it out of whatever you are facing, bring it out and actually see, okay, what am I afraid of? What is it that's preventing me? And reveal that to Guru and Krishna. Because in that sense, you are allowing the torchlight of knowledge to go into your regions of heart which you have not exposed yourself to, or you are keeping it as secret, because that's what, when a situation comes, I don't want to face it. Because it's unknown to me, it's unwanted to me. I don't want to see this devotee because I've had troubles with him before and he will behave exactly in the same way that he behaved before. So I don't want to do it. So because we are anticipating problems and going into situations, what is going to manifest? Our bodily reactions and what is the situation that's going to come up again is the same. But if we go into the mood of, okay, I'm going to meet this devotee and there is going to be some commotion there, I'm anticipating it, I'm going, and even if he says something which is offensive to me, I'll be in the moment, I'll not try to escape or I will not fight it back. I will be in the moment, because that's the training that we get when we are chanting japa, because the mind goes somewhere else, we bring it back and put it in the present moment. When the fight or flight syndrome comes, when we are in difficult situations, if we move from the bodily platform, if we observe our own body, how am I reacting if I am seeing a particular problem or particular devotee who I have troubled? Do I just turn my face away and run away? Or if he is coming, I am just prepared. Yes, come. So, if our subconscious mind is asking for problems, that's what is going to come. But if we come out of the bodily responses and the situation that we are in and take complete shelter of the Lord, at that time what happens is you're facing the reality, you're facing your biggest fear, because that is what is preventing you from surrender. And then you're allowing the situation, okay, let him speak or express whatever he's supposed to express, and then I will give a suitable response. Because earlier you have practiced taking shelter of Guru and Krishna to face that fear, to face that unwanted and the unknown. And in that situation you will get the strength to face that fear. Why I am stressing so much on fear is because that's what is preventing us from surrender. And because we are fearful, we will be taking shelter of Dhanam, Janam, Sundarim, everything. Because, so my, the wealth will protect me, people around me will protect me, my spouse will protect me, my children will protect me. If you look at it in the core, fear factor, instead of going and taking shelter of the Lord, who is Bhaktanam Abhayankaram, we are going towards all this. And because I can't handle this anymore, give me liberation. I've had enough, my Lord. Goodbye to your material world. Just give me liberation. So, still we are not going into the biggest fear of what is inside us and we want to just escape. Instead of that, the first action item we can take is any fear that you have, go and express it to Guru and Krishna openly. Admit it. And then say that you are willing to surrender. One may not put faith in Krishna's words because Krishna keeps changing. He may give a promise, later he take back. If he said, I will not attack Bhishma, then he attacked.
So that's why Krishna knows this and he says, now you declare Arjuna that my devotee will not perish. And Lord Ram says, anybody who comes to me and says, from this day on, my Lord, I am surrendering unto you, I am yours, I will protect him. This is my vow. I take a vow. Even if Ravana comes and tells this, I'll do it. I will offer him protection. So, first step is to acknowledge the fear. This is what is preventing me from complete surrender, which is what you are expecting. I don't trust you fully as my loving father, so which means I still have some doubts about you. So then His Grace Guru Sanatana Prabhu writes that we all have atheistic tendencies, that's why we don't surrender completely to the Lord. So when he addresses that fear in his Japa book, he says that we don't trust Krishna, simple as that. Because we still have doubts whether he'll protect. If I'm jumping from cliff, will he protect? What will he do? What will he not do? So, and then if we are going in that, so the reassuring words of the Lord and his action towards the Lord and the way his devotees are taking shelter, just like in this verse, how Prithu Maharaj is saying, just as a son completely depends on his father for his protection, he does not ask for it. Just like the child is sitting on the lap of his father, she doesn't worry because she is protected by the Lord. If we give ourselves to the Lord in that way, then the Lord protects. Even though he is Bhaktavatsala, he responds according to the way that you surrender. As you surrender unto me, I will reward you accordingly. The child wants to remain naughty and do naughty things, the father does not always force, then he will advise, but then the child comes naturally, then he protects the child. That is something that we can take, face the fears that we have, admit them, take the help of the Lord and Guru and Krishna, openly express it, then the knowledge by which the unknown becomes known, the protection which makes the what's the second aspect of fear? Unknown and unwanted. The unwanted. So unwanted things are there in our heart, which is what is making us do unwanted things and get entangled in this material world. So if that propensity of doing unwanted things or desiring unwanted, if that propensity is taken away by the mercy of the Lord, then the fear loses its power. So, moksha ishyami ma sucha, do not fear. Means, so we need to also admit our fears to the Lord and ask Him for help, and the help will come. Thereby, we will not go into fruitive activities or philosophical speculations. Maam ekam sharanam raja means no worshipping any demigods, not taking shelter of karma or jnana, only pure devotional service. So in that sense the Lord says surrender has got six limbs, one of which is accepting the Lord as my master and He is my maintainer, Gotrupte Varanantata. So that is what Prithu Maharaj is exhibiting here. I am a child and you are my father and I am giving completely myself to you. You know what is best for me. You do what is the best for me. So if we follow this similar approach of revealing whatever is there, situations which we have faced and which are beyond our control, we take shelter of the Lord. His teachings in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, hear the spiritual master, take shelter of Srila Prabhupada, serve his murti and his teachings, then we will be able to get out of this fear and surrender. completely to the Lord and get His mercy. I'll stop here and see if there are any questions related to what we discussed today. Or anybody wants to share any of their thoughts or realizations. Yes, bro.
About praying to the Lord.
Yes.
Please engage in your devotional service, which is what I have written about. Is that a better prayer, or let me between the association of devotees to hear your glories, which seems to be a passive activity rather than active service? So between these two prayers, can you comment more on that?
How do you say that Shravanam Kirtanam is a passive activity? How do you say that?
Because Shravanam is passive by nature.
I don't think so. Unless you put your earplugs and then you're listening to something else. Like, if you are aligning your body, mind and the sense organs, everything in that particular place, it is an active process. If you want to, you can space out in the midst of a nice kirtan. It's up to you. But the process as such is very active. So, you're asking for service. Service means you should know how to do service. So for that you need devotee's guidance. So that's why the mentality, when before we start praying, even chanting Hare Krishna, is that you accept yourself as a servant of the servant of the servant, and they will teach you. So, yeah. Anyone wants to comment on that? I have a question. I didn't understand in this purport. A pure devotee does not ask for the Lord for any material benefit, nor does he ask anything for spiritual benefit. I didn't understand why we should not ask the Lord for any spiritual benefit. Anyone wants to answer? Why we should ask him for material benefit? It's okay. Nor does he ask for any spiritual benefit. It's something to think about. Okay, in the class here, Grantharashtrimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Mala Prabhupada ki chai.